Happy Easter! He is risen. Over 2,000 years ago, something incredible happened. Oh, wait. Something incredible began. Yeah, something incredible was initiated. And this morning, we are going to hear from a witness to that incredible thing, that resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I want to invite you to stand as you can, those of you at home too, as we take in the words of Paul, church builder and lover of Jesus, as he shares some good words to us, just as he did to the church in Corinth long ago. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're going to start with that very first verse. Words are on the screen if you'd like to follow along, or you can close your eyes and let your heart speak. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which you also stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all. As to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So, when my parents raised me and my siblings, they had a certain strategy of taking care of our birthday celebrations. You know, there were five of us that they had to take into account. There was my brother Jerry, whose birthday was Valentine's Day. There was my birthday in March, which happened to also be the day that the Girl Scouts were founded. I got teased by that when I was little. My little sister Robin, who was born in the merry month of May. And then my older sister Judy, and my younger brother, Chris, both had the same birthday, born 16 years apart. My mom took that as a sign, no more kids. But how they celebrate birthdays is that on that birthday, the birthday girl or guy would get their birthday gift. But in order that everybody would be in a celebrative mood, what my parents would do is they would get a little gift, one little gift for each of us, so that everybody could celebrate and that everybody could look forward to everybody else's birthday. I imagine my parents thanked the Lord when we outgrew that need to have a small gift on each other's birthday. But you know, I don't think my parents developed that on their own. I think that's sort of how we celebrate our Christian holidays, isn't it? Just a little over 3 months ago, we celebrated Christmas. Can I hear a woohoo? We celebrated Christmas. And you know, when you're a child, man, waiting for Santa Claus to come by your house to give you gifts, if you've been good, oh, it's so exciting. And you know, we gathered around our Christmas trees and our Christmas stockings and opened up our Christmas gifts, and we had our family meals with family and friends, or if we weren't able to, we really wanted to. Christmas is really something. But we know that what Christmas really is about a mystery. A mystery of this thing called incarnation. Incarnation. An understanding that God took on human flesh and was born as through a woman as Jesus, the one who saved us from our sins. This is what God did for us. And Jesus wasn't born into a warm, fuzzy, comfy world and wasn't placed into a warm, fuzzy, comfy bed. No, Jesus was born into a chaotic and hard world. And Jesus was born as part of a people who were subjugated to the Roman Empire. And Jesus was born to a poor carpenter and his teenaged wife in a cave where they kept animals and where he was placed, his very first bed, in a feeding trough. But you know, what an amazing love that was, right? For our God to come to us in such humble means to show us true love. My earliest memories of Easter are probably just like your earliest memories of Easter. Yes, you do get up at the crack of dawn to see what the Easter bunny has done brought me and my sisters and brothers. It's exciting to get up and to see that. And you know what? My sons Jeremy and Nathan, as they grew up, they got up at the crack of dawn, waking Tammy and I up at the crack of dawn so that they could see what the Easter bunny gave them, and they wanted to show that to us. And now their kids and our grandkids wake up to see what the Easter bunny has brought. But we know what Easter is really about, right? It's about another mystery of a miraculous event of resurrection. And it's incredible that we see that somehow death could not hold this man. You know, this man, this Jesus of Nazareth, who was he was a preacher, he was a teacher, he was a healer, and he was put to death, hung on a cross, asphyxiated to death through gravity, and he was put there for sedition through the Roman Empire, and he was put down by those in religious authorities as a blasphemer. But this man was more than a man. And after 3 days, he rose up. And everybody was surprised. Now, if you read the stories of Jesus, it's not like he didn't try to tell them. Not once, not twice, but at least 3 times, he said, "Hey, guess what? We're going to go to Jerusalem. And when we get there, the Son of Man is going to be, he's going to suffer. He's gonna die. And after 3 days, he's gonna raise up." But they couldn't hear that. They were all surprised. They were all freaked out. But it was the best freak out surprise that they ever got. Amen. Because what happened is, not only was Jesus bodily resurrected, but resurrection hope was born. And it's that resurrection hope that changes everything for us. Everything. It changed everything for Paul. And that's why Paul wanted to share that with his church in Corinth and by extension, all of us. And so what we heard today in 1 Corinthians is the earliest testimony to the resurrection. Did you know that? Those gospels might be first in the New Testament, but the earliest gospel was written about 25 years after Paul's letter. So Paul's the first one to say, "Hey, I am handing on to you. Handing on to you." You know, we pass on all our traditions, don't we? How we celebrate birthdays, how we celebrate Christmas, how we celebrate Easter. We hand it on to people, to the next generation. But what Paul is reminding us is that we need to pass on that resurrection hope. So Paul is sharing with his church in Corinth. And Paul didn't just write this letter just because. He wrote this letter because there were issues with the people, with the believers in Corinth. And if Paul's message in that letter could be put down into a couple of phrases, it would be this: Corinthian church, learn to get along. Not that anything like that happens in our churches today. But they fought about everything. They fought about how to take in the Lord's Supper. They fought about how to appreciate the gifts of the Holy Spirit amongst themselves. They fought about ethics amongst each other. They even fought about what they believed about the resurrection. And most of them believed in the resurrection of Jesus because that's just because that's why they became who they became. But the resurrection hope is that they would be resurrected too. But some were kind of pushing back against that. So Paul writes this little part of his first letter. And I think it's important for us to take another look at this letter to see what he's trying to tell us. So first of all, he's reminding us, right, of good news. Paul proclaimed it. We received it. We also stand up in it. We also are saved by it if we believe what we are taught. Then we are in the good news. And Paul shared that he handed on to us by first importance that good news. And what is the good news? That Christ died for our sins, to take care of our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried. Okay, now that was important. He died. And then they buried him. He was really, 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 really dead. And then he was raised on the third day again in accordance with the scriptures. Now I got to tell you, those scriptures aren't the New Testament. They didn't have it yet. It wasn't all written yet. It wasn't put together yet. When they're talking about the scriptures, they're talking about what we call the Old Testament. Because in those words, that's where Paul saw Jesus. Through centuries, so have all Christians seen Jesus in the words of the Hebrew scriptures. And so what we know from the scriptures is that the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, was risen from the dead. And how do we know that? Because there are witnesses, right? He appeared to Cephas, a.k.a. Simon Peter. And then he appeared to those 12 close disciples to him. Although I've got to think about, maybe that's that new 12th because Judas was already dead. And then he appeared to 500 men and women. I'm thinking 500 is a code word for bunches. Jesus appeared to bunches of people, and most of those people are still alive. You can ask them. They could say, yeah, Jesus is alive, although some had died. Then he appeared to James, Jesus' brother, and then he appeared to the apostles. And then last of all, Paul says, he appeared to me. And I want you to get into the passion of how he's feeling about himself here, because he is really being honest with how he feels about himself as a witness. He uses this phrase, untimely born, and that sounds so poetic, but what the Greek really says is, I am a miscarriage. I'm worthless. For those of you who were here Friday and you heard the words of Psalm 22, I am a worm. And he says, I'm the least of all these witnesses because I persecuted the church. And you know he did. He went after the believers of Jesus Christ before they were called Christians, when they were called followers of the way. And he went after them And he stood by while some of them were stoned to death. And then he went and would have others arrested. He was on his way to Damascus to do that very same thing when Jesus appeared to him and whopped him upside the head with a spiritual 2x4 vision. And he changed. He ended up writing most of the New Testament, amen? And that's what he means. He says, I'm a bad guy. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it wasn't me, it was God's grace again. And whether it was I or they, we proclaim. And so you have come to believe. So I have come to proclaim to you, to hand on to you that Easter resurrection is not meant to be celebrated as only one day. For Easter resurrection is not just an event that happened thousands of years ago. Easter resurrection is a process. It is a movement. And it's a movement that all of us can be a part of. And so therefore, Easter is not just today. Easter is tomorrow. Easter is Tuesday. Easter is Wednesday. Easter is Thursday. Easter is Friday. Easter is Saturday. And on and on. Easter keeps going on. And you can be a part of that if you hold firm to that belief and realize the resurrection that you hope. Because we had a God who loved us, who put on flesh, who lived for us, and then died for us and lives resurrected for us. What an amazing love that is. You can be a part of that resurrection celebration every day by the way you live, of course. And how might you do that? Well, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as you love yourself. And love yourselves. Too many of us hate ourselves. Learn to love yourselves. And by that way, then you can share your heart and your life with others and plant seeds of resurrection hope in them. And then you can behold how that resurrection comes alive. You can also share what Jesus has done for you. We heard what Paul had to say. Mark shares the story that what happened is there were three women, Mary Magdalene, Mary mother of James, and Salome, who went to a tomb that was empty, except for some dude in a white gown who said, "Hey, he's not here. He's risen. Go and tell other people." Matthew says that Mary Magdalene and other Mary happened to be at the tomb in the morning. They're keeping vigil. When all of a sudden, thunderbolts and lightning, there's a great earthquake. And all of a sudden, this angel rolls away the stone. And all the guards that were guarding the tomb, they just faint away. And that rolling angel says, "Hey, he's not here. He's risen. Go and tell other people." And Luke says that four women come to the tomb. And they go, and there's no Jesus there. But guess what? Two angels tell them, "He's not here. Go and look for him." So Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary mother of James and the unfortunately ambiguous other woman, they go and they share the good news. And then in John's telling of the story, Mary Magdalene, she's the one that truly is looking for Jesus to find him. This is how they tell the story. But other people can tell the story too. Let's take a look.
After Jesus died, they put Jesus in a tomb
and wrapped him with some
white paper. They put a big stone around it and placed guards in front of the tomb to let nobody go in.
He was just waiting for the 3 days.
He's probably drinking soda, eating hot Cheetos.
He would probably play games like Candyland and then have a party by himself.
The Easter Bunny was hiding behind a tree. He probably went out there and just throw eggs everywhere. And then he's gonna say, there's one money egg, so you better find it. You'll get some money.
3 days later, there was a big earthquake.
I think we should go away somewhere safe.
Psych, I'm getting out of here.
The earth is shaking. Run for your lives.
And the guards ran off because they got scared.
And then on Sunday, Mary and some of her friends came with some spices. But when they got there, the tomb was empty.
His clothes only was there.
Then an angel came and said,
don't be afraid. Jesus has risen from the dead. Go tell the good news.
Mary and her friends went and told the disciples.
She said, Jesus has risen from the dead.
Guys, Jesus has risen from the dead.
And the disciples didn't believe them.
No, that couldn't happen.
Jesus can't raise from the dead.
I don't believe it until I see it.
But all of a sudden, Jesus was there. I am Jesus. I am the Son of the Lord God. And I am Jesus, your friend.
And then the disciples said, Jesus, it's you. Yay! Jesus is alive!
Totes cool.
Jesus, before he left to heaven, he said,
I have done what I have came to done. Do. And then he risen, then he was going up to heaven. His disciples were crowded around him.
The disciples said, holy guacamole, I can't believe Jesus really flew. That's awesome. Now what?
Let's go tell the news.
Exactly. See, Paul, Mark, and Matthew, and Luke, and John, and those kids are all part of the resurrection celebration movement, and so can all of us. So what I want to invite you to do is to embrace the resurrection hope of which you have been born into in the waters of baptism. And that is to know that we have a God who loves us so much, who died for us, who lives for us, so that we can have eternal life when we die, but also before we die in the life that we live with Christ. We can do that by how we live. We can do that by the story that we share. So let's do that. Let's hand it on to the next generation. And let's change this world. Happy Easter and amen.